All right, hello and welcome to In Depth on this Sunday morning, 7:30 a.m. This is Ian Sorensen, your host for this PSA program. My first guest today is Shannon Dobbs from On Common Ground. And I think that has multiple meanings, it feels like to me.
It does indeed. It operates on a number of levels. Good morning, Ian.
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much for coming in. Tell me about what the work that you do with this organization.
Well, On Common Ground is a nonprofit organization that my wife and I started last year in our community. And the purpose of the organization is to increase access to healthy food and nutrition and the tools that we need to use in order to be able to effectively utilize those in our community.
Okay. Well, what a concept, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, let's keep it. So is it the idea kind of keeping it homegrown as far as, I mean, that was an unfortunate pun, but keeping it kind of within city limits, not shipping out too much from other places, trying to grow things ourselves, or what is the idea
here? We're not coming from the growing aspect of food insecurity. We're looking at the urban problems that we have in our community, and this is really valley-wide. Washoe County is a particular region, so if you look around, you've got growing communities out in the outskirts. You've got several urban regions. And you've got a lot of different areas that are food insecure. There's places inside the communities called food deserts where there's no grocery stores, there's very little access to food, and people that have limited transportation or limited access to transportation have a very difficult time getting to where the food is.
Gotcha.
That ends up being very expensive. It ends up contributing to health issues, a lot of things like heart disease and a lot of things that go along with that are tied inextricably to the quality of the food that you eat growing up.
Okay, there we go. So what inspired you to start this nonprofit?
Living and working in Reno for a long time. I moved here in 2005 to start to take over Five Star Saloon, and I ran it for the last 11 years. Just sold it in January, so I'm moving on to bigger and better things. And through the process of doing business in this community, I've come to realize, you know, what the issues are that we're struggling to deal with together. And food insecurity and houselessness are hand in hand, two of the worst problems that we're dealing with as a community.
For sure. So have you kind of partnered with other organizations to try to get things moving as far as people getting fed and also getting fed well with healthy food?
Absolutely. We're working with the food bank. We're working with partner organizations all around the community, including the Community Health Alliance, UNR's social health network, and their community of essentially network growing new people that are moving into the industry and trying to help people. It's all great opportunities to meet a lot of people that are really interested in helping and being part of the positive change in our community, and we want to be a part of that.
Wonderful. And how's it been going, I guess?
It's been going very well. We just got our 501c3 last February, and we've been working with interns out of UNR to develop programs. We've got an app developed the concept's developed that's going to allow people to have an easier time figuring out where food is, essentially providing informational tools that people can easily access on their smartphones to be able to get around to where the routes are for food bank drop-offs, for where the farmers markets are. There's a lot of different information that if people have that at their disposal, it's going to make things a lot easier.
That's really fantastic. So kind of where do you want to go with this? Do you have any like long-term plans? You really want to set up a system or?
Oh, absolutely. The specifics of our program, what we're looking at doing is incorporating the existing for-profit metrics that are in existence in the community right now. You've got grocery stores all over the place that supply food.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, those grocery stores are controlled and owned by shareholders, and those shareholders dictate where those food supply locations go based on profitability. So for the downtown Reno area, for example, since 1986, we haven't had a grocery store there. And the reasons for that is essentially profitability. You've got about 35% to 40% of the people that live downtown are under the poverty level, and that ends up turning into a situation where the profitability is not there. The shareholders won't authorize putting a grocery store in there. So if you go to Scolari's or Trader Joe's or Whole Foods or any one of the existing operators, they're just going to say, sorry, we can't do anything for you. And I've done that as a property owner. And that's what led me to inevitably conclude that we need to come at this from a different perspective. We need to develop a nonprofit aspect to come into there and essentially create this this logistics system and this solution in the downtown area that's going to provide the food for the people that live there. And it's not just, you know, people living over on Record Street and people living over on East 4th. It's also people living in the Montage and the Palladio that have to get in their cars and drive halfway across town and waste a lot of gas and waste a lot of resources in order to be able to get the food that they need.
Yeah. There we go. It's so funny how you said that, and it almost light bulb went off. There are no grocery stores downtown.
It's a bit of an aha moment. Yeah, we had an article about 2 years ago in the Reno Gazette Journal where the mayor was even saying, why can't we get a grocery store in downtown Reno? Well, we're coming at it from the perspective we can, but we just need to take away the profitability, and that actually allows us to put a lot of tools and mechanisms in place to really help the community. So if we have a downtown nonprofit grocery store, one of the things that we were able to do is we figured out a way to eliminate the profit margin for people that are low income. So we can actually put a sliding scale on food. So when people come in there, if they've got low income and they qualify for SNAP benefits, if they qualify, under certain programs in the community, they can go in there and the system's going to automatically recognize it. We've got a shared database program that we're working with Washoe County Health Department to integrate, and it's going to drop the profit margin on. It's going to reduce the cost of the food so that people go in there, they're going to get a little bit of a break. They can use that money to then, get their car fixed, pay their rent, get their kids braces, all of those other things that we're constantly struggling with is how do we rob Peter to pay Paul to try and get through our day? Well, by making it even a little bit easier in one aspect of it, it makes your entire capability of getting through the program a lot easier for most families.
Okay, that's a fantastic thing. How can people kind of help you out with this? I mean, do you have volunteers? Or, how are you funded, I guess, too? I mean, it's a nonprofit, but also are you asking donations, fundraisers?
We are absolutely asking for the community to get together behind us and support what we're doing. The totality of the program, before we can even put the downtown grocery market into place, we need to have a warehouse in place that's going to allow us to supply and support that retail grocery market. It's also going to allow us to put mobile grocery markets into place that are going to service the community in different areas and essentially bring the food to where people are.
Wow.
And we're going to use part of that warehouse to create a commercial kitchen to capture food that's currently coming out of the back of grocery stores and ending up in landfills. Vulnerable food that requires refrigeration like milk and eggs.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to deal with. And once you get to that sell-by date, you've only got about a 3 to 5 day window before the food goes bad.
Mm.
That's not really easy to do if you're trying to just hand it to somebody to use because there's really not a lot people can do with it. And a lot of people don't have refrigeration capability.
Yeah.
But if we can cook that and use it as ingredients to create shelf-stable foods that last 3 to 6 months, and then we can divert it back over into the food bank for distribution, even brand it and put it on the market to sell it to people that want it, and then use those proceeds to be able to further the project. That's how we essentially create a mechanism that works to reduce food waste, works to increase food access, and allows us to do a lot of other outreach programs in the community. So it's really kind of a comprehensive system that we're creating.
Cool. Yeah. And you actually reminded me, I mean, I don't know how accurate the news story was, but it was something I think was in France or some European country where it was literally they made a law saying any grocery stores, if you have any food waste, you can't throw it away. You are legally required to give something you would normally throw away or you consider bad,
mm-hmm.
and you give it to food banks or you give it to the homeless or something like that. So
and legislation and the legal aspects is a very difficult thing, and it's a very touchy subject in America, especially. But what we're doing doesn't require the changing of any laws. Everything is in place. We've talked to the people at the Washoe County Health Department, and the system for taking raw materials, let's say you've got milk and eggs and you want to use it as ingredients in a product, you get your UPC symbol and you get your proper labeling. You make sure that the food that you're creating is in line with all of the health requirements that already exist.
Uh-huh.
And then you put it out of the market and you divert it over to the food bank and you do whatever it is that you're doing with it. But it's really not that difficult of a process. You're just taking existing things that are already being used in the for-profit businesses and you're applying it to a nonprofit perspective and essentially providing it to benefit the community.
Well, way to take advantage of that.
Thank you.
Yeah, a lot. You're having some very innovative ideas that other people have not thought of. So thank you for doing that.
I've been an entrepreneur for a long time and coming at it from a different perspective and really looking at it from a different lens allows us to essentially find different solutions. What we're doing is essentially adding a level of efficiency to an existing program. So you've got feedingamerica.org and the food bank have this really good logistics program. They've got ways to get food to a lot of different people in the community, and they're really doing a lot of good. But there are these areas that are falling through the cracks, and the refrigeration issue is one of the biggest things.
Mm-hmm.
If you go down to the local food pantries, the majority of them don't have refrigeration, and that's where we're losing a large amount of food. If you take it up to the national spectrum, in October of 2016, an article came out in the Wall Street Journal that talked about the 43 million gallons of milk that were thrown away across the United States just in the first 8 months of last year. So if you look at that and you look at the amount of resources that we are currently throwing away, the fact that United States throws away approximately 40% of all the food that we create every year, we need to be able to put some efficiencies in place that utilize those resources so they don't go to waste. And if that can benefit the community, and if we can take that as an opportunity to create an industry in our community that then expands the manufacturing capabilities and does a lot of other things, it's just a huge win-win for everybody.
Yeah, there we go. Well, hopefully people will see this as a model and use it in other parts of the country.
We hope that. Actually, we're creating it as a template and creating Reno as a pilot program that we're hoping that other communities are going to be able to see what we're doing and copy it and essentially take it all the way across the United States.
Awesome. How can people find out more about you, like social media or online-wise?
On Facebook, we're OCG Reno, and on and our website is ocgreno.org. It's really easy to get information. We've got an operational diagram that kind of breaks down everything we're doing and all of the little pieces of the system and how it all comes together. We're working on developing some other things like just some kind of informational apps visual spectrum that's going to make it a little bit easier for people to understand what we're doing, because it is a complex process. It is something that we're putting together that it's not the easiest thing in the world to explain. But once you see it and once you see how it works, it really doesn't start to make a lot of sense.
Gorgeous. So OCGReno.org, you said.
Yes, sir.
Beautiful. Shannon Dobbs from On Common Ground. This is fantastic work. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.